You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 13th of February 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, there's lots of news to get into. There was a riot over the weekend. It was alleged that Patriotic Alternative had something to do with this protest, but they had nothing at all to do with the protest. It was organised by locals in Liverpool. And we will be going into closer details with that in Real Britannia later on today. We've also had the producing of the, finally, we've had the review, Interprevent, has actually been published. And I was going to get into that in today's episode of the Daily Nationalist. And then I came across really quite a surprising piece of news here. I was really taken aback by this, the Archbishop of Canterbury actually talking some sense at last. And it appears he's been talking this sense at a General Synod meeting in Ghana, of all places. So when the Archbishop of Canterbury is talking to the British, he promotes leftism and progressivism. And then when he's talking to the sub-Saharan Africans in Ghana, he actually talks common sense. I'm really surprised at this. I'm very pleased, actually, to see that this is what he thinks about things, what he really thinks about things, I think, rather than just repeating what he's been told to say by the government, which seems to be what he's doing in England. The Archbishop of Canterbury claimed he was threatened with parliamentary action in an attempt to force same-sex marriage into the Church of England. And, I mean, that's really quite something that he's admitting that's what he was threatened with. Because when the government brought gay marriage in and they legislated for gay marriage, they said one thing they wouldn't be doing is forcing the Church of England to go along with this. And really, I don't see why they had to bring in gay marriage. They had civil partnerships. Why did they have to redefine what the word marriage has meant for thousands of years? Why did they have to suddenly redefine it? I mean, that was bad enough. But they did say that we're not going to force the church to go along with this interpretation of marriage. We're not going to force the church to have two men in a church and call it marriage when they make vows to one another. They said, we're not going to do this. Yet what Justin Welby is saying now is that because the church now says, no, we don't want to do this. It's not a part of our tradition. It's not what marriage is defined as within the Bible. And the politicians have literally been threatening him, saying, we're going to bring in laws. If you don't change this yourself from within the Church of England, we're going to force you to. Speaking at a global Anglican Consultative Council meeting in Ghana, Justin Welby also said that many members of the General Synod have dismissed his concerns about recent reforms. And I did think that it was Justin Welby that was behind all of this, pushing for this progressivism. But what he's saying here is it's not actually coming from him. He also says it's not coming from the archbishops either. So you have to wonder who it is that makes up the General Synod. Is it now all made up of progressives? Are they the ones that are interested in getting involved in that because they wish to subvert the church? People that have an axe to grind. A lot of homosexuals have an axe to grind against the church. They believe that they were unfairly persecuted by the church for many years because Christianity was against homosexuality in the Bible. So they believe that they've been persecuted And the logical result of that would be that they wish to somehow get their own back on the church. And I'm not saying that that's what everybody in this synod is doing, but you have to think that that may be one of the motives there amongst people that identify as homosexual that are then taking part in the church. Part of their drive to get involved in these synods would be to change the church's directives, particularly on homosexuality. And when I've discussed this with Grandpa Dan, we've talked about this coming down from the top, really, rather than coming up from the bottom. But from what Justin Welby is saying here, it's not coming down from the top. It's probably coming from horizontal. It's probably coming from some of these members of the church that are now taking part in the governing side of the church, which I guess is this idea everybody's equal, democracy, everybody's the same. And you can have somebody who's right at the bottom of the hierarchy is going to be just as good at legislating as somebody who was formerly at the top of the hierarchy. I mean, that seems to be this idea of equality that we're pushing. The whole of our democracy goes on that, doesn't it? I mean, they can just change the Secretary of Education for Secretary for the Economy, for Secretary for Prisons, for Secretary for the NHS. I mean, it's just musical chairs. And these people that are put in those positions, they don't actually have any understanding of the subject that they're supposed to be the general secretary of. And I think that has made its way throughout society now. And we think that people can just be swapped around in these roles. And therefore, you don't need to have people at the heads of the church discussing the direction of the church. You should be involving the members of the church. But then if all the traditionalist members have left the church because it's turned its back on traditionalism, and all the people that are going there now, people that wish to change the church's traditions and have it more progressive, then that's going to be the result of it, isn't it? That the church does things like blessings for gay marriage. The Archbishop's comments came after the Church of England's Legislative Assembly, the General Synod, passed a motion to allow the blessing of same-sex couples in civil partnerships earlier this month. And a lot of the press were saying, well, it's not going far enough. They need to be having these gay marriage ceremonies within the church. It's not enough that they're going to bless these partnerships. They should actually be officiating over them, which, of course, goes completely against Christian tradition. And a lot of the traditionalist members of the church will be upset that the General Synod has allowed this, blessings of these civil partnerships. I think they also, not a blessing, it might be a celebration, something like that they actually have of transgenders now as well. In his presidential address to the 18th plenary of the ACC, Mr. Welby said that rules about sexuality in the Church of England have been tabled for discussion as a result of growing atheism in the United Kingdom. And I think I pointed this out when we looked at the census results and we saw that there was an increase in Islam and a reduction in Christianity in the country. And I said, well, this is because it isn't because Islam is really so much better than Christianity or anything like that. The reason for this rise in atheism is what we should be concerned about. And that's because what we're effectively saying is that none of these religions are the truth, because there is only one truth. And Christianity claims to be the truth. And if you're going to say Christianity is just another comparative religion, and you're also going to promote Islam in the country, well, both of them can't be true at the same time, can they? So that means neither of them are true. And then you end up with this growth of atheism. And what Justin Welby is saying here, he's saying it's this growth of atheism that is pushing for the rules about sexuality to be changed within the church. So what is he saying there? Is he saying that we've got atheists at the General Synod now? He told those at the meeting held in the Ghanaian capital, Accra, that in the global north, Christian values of community and mutual responsibility have been almost eliminated in favour of individualism. I had to read that twice. I was so shocked to hear Justin Welby saying something like that. I mean, that is effectively what Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson has been talking about with his book about patristic philosophy against nominalism. This idea that everything can just be broken down and looked at as separate from everything else. There is no meaning to anything. There is no community. It's all just individualism. And that way of looking at everything, taking everything apart as separate rather than looking at it's the way that it works within the whole, talking about individuals rather than talking about the smallest unit of the nation actually being the family, and the nation is the larger organism. The largest organism that modernism looks at is the individual, and what the individual can take from around him rather than what the individual can do for those around him. And that's effectively what Justin Welby is saying here. He's saying that the idea of community and helping out the community and having a duty to help out the community is no longer there, and what we have is individualism, and what can the individual do to make the individual feel better, I guess. They're saying there is no general meaning or purpose to anything. It's all just about acquiring things for the individual. So I think it's quite incredible that Justin Welby is pointing this out, and you know that is the Christian tradition. This patristic Platonic philosophy is the Christian tradition. Platonic philosophy blended with Hebrew prophecy. And that's the traditions of the church, and that's where a lot of these ideas of morality, the ideas of morality that we have come from, that from the general purpose to everything. There is a purpose to things, whereas today we're saying there is no purpose, there is no wider purpose, there is no role. We're just a rock in space spinning around lots of other rocks. We're not the center of anything, and everything just happens by chance. You know, all of that stems from this idea of nominalism that the church fathers were fighting against. And I have tended rather to see the Church of England as just giving up on all of that and promoting nominalism. But then you've got Justin Welby just expressing this, the truth about this, that we are lacking a sense of community and the duty and responsibility that comes from that. And it's been supplanted with individualism. Mr. Welby said that when he has been approached by Christians who fear that Islam would take over Europe, he told them the greater danger is posed by a growing number of atheists, who he refers to as nuns. And again, I'm very surprised at that. I'm surprised he hasn't said, oh, well, being an atheist is just the equivalent of having a religion. We're all the same. And no, he's saying these atheists are lacking something that people who have a faith have. He says, I don't mean N-U-Ns. I mean those who, when asked about their faith, say none. I have no faith. And he's quite right there. That's what is on the increase, is atheism. But I doubt whether he will see that the reason why there is an increase in atheism is because we have multiculturalism, because we have multi-faiths within one country. And all of those faiths cannot all be true. Either only one of them is true or none of them are true. And if you are going to say, well, they're all true at the same time, then you're the one that's not speaking the truth. So he's pointing out that the problem that we have, what is growing, is atheism. But I don't think he actually realizes what is at the root cause of this atheism. I mean, he may understand it. He may just not be saying it because he may be worried for his job. I'm surprised that he is saying what he has said here. He said, talking about atheism, he said the result is clear. In the last few weeks, as part of our discussions about sexuality and the rules around sexuality in the Church of England, I talked of our interdependence with all Christians, not just Anglicans, particularly those in the global South with other faith majorities. And as a result, I was summoned twice to Parliament and threatened with parliamentary action to force same-sex marriage on us, which is called in England equal marriage. So he had all this pressure being put on him by the government in order to change all this tradition. And of course, it's not just England that has a voice in the Anglican Church anymore. You also have all these African churches, and they don't want to see gay marriage in their countries. They don't want to see abortion either. They don't want to see transgenderism. They don't want to see all these things that they see as being negative. And of course, the propaganda over here will say, well, they only see it as negative because of colonialism, and colonialism imposed these laws against homosexuality on these people. And that's effectively what they're even saying about India, that the reason why India had laws that were against homosexuality is because India was colonized by Britain and we forced these laws on them. I think effectively you're going to have those similar laws throughout the world in whatever culture you look at, because if you didn't have them, then that people group wouldn't continue, would it? Because the people group wouldn't be procreating. So you have to encourage procreation, and that is the natural result of the sexual act that we see happening throughout the natural world. That is how kind reproduces kind. And if you're doing the opposite of that, then that is a general aberration. Of course, today they will say, oh, yes, but it does sometimes happen amongst animals. But, you know, those are animals that are making a mistake, aren't they? If all of them were to do that, then that type of creature would not continue to exist. And, you know, you have to look at things. Would it be okay if everybody was to do this? You know, that's essentially morality, isn't it? Would it be okay if everybody was to do this? And if you're doing something that it wouldn't be okay for everybody else to do, then you shouldn't really be doing it. So it's not a question of these countries having colonial laws imposed upon them. They are ideas that they would have had themselves before Britain went over there. So he's also pointing out that this is to change the ruling on this would make the church look ridiculous in the eyes of all these other countries that understand the traditions of the church. He says, when I speak of the impact that actions by the Church of England will have on those abroad in the Anglican Communion, those concerns are dismissed by many, not all, but by many, in the General Synod. And that's just incredible. You would think that the General Synod were the people that were trying to guard the traditions of the church and to protect them from being changed, but it's the General Synod that are trying to change this. Mr. Welby said that in the Church of England, archbishops do not chair the General Synod or organise its debates. And he says, in the UK and in many parts of Europe, the majority of people now belong to no faith at all. So I don't know if that's connected to that. And what he is saying is that you've actually got atheists that are on this General Synod now, but the archbishops are not the ones that chair it. They're not the ones that are directing the way that it's going. And I think what it must be that they have these activists there. There must have been activists that have joined the Church of England that want to change it, as I say, because they have this perceived idea that they have a grievance against the church, because the church has always taken a stern view of homosexuality. So I think maybe these activist types have joined the Church of England just with the view of changing it. And I mean, we know that communists were talking about doing that at the turn of the last century, about infiltrating the church and bringing the church down. It's something that's been talked about by various secret societies for a long time, infiltrating the church. And he says, I mean, that's pretty much what he is saying here. He's saying that these concerns are just dismissed by people in the General Synod, and the General Synod itself is not chaired by the archbishops, and neither do they organise its debates. So they aren't the ones that actually set the direction of where the synod is going. He says, in the UK and in many parts of Europe, the majority of people now belong to no faith at all. They are not Christians. They are not Muslims. They are not pagans. They are not Jews. They are not Hindus. They do not belong. And obviously, what he is saying there, he isn't saying they do not belong. All these atheists should be kicked out of Europe. He is saying they don't have a community that they belong to. They have a community of individuals. They don't have a larger group that they belong to with traditions and a sense of belonging. And they've been cut off from that by becoming atheists, essentially. When you consider that all of our society is based upon Christian law and Christian tradition, and they don't believe in God, so they effectively don't believe in any of these traditions. They've effectively cut themselves off from their own community. It's an awful, awful thing to think of, to be an atheist, to think that there is no purpose to anything, no general purpose to anything, and you're not the center of the universe, you're not the greatest thing that God ever created, you're just something that grew out of the primordial ooze with no purpose whatsoever, and you actually come from monkeys. I mean, the ideas of atheism, when you look at them, you can look at them and you can think, well, it's just humorous, isn't it, that people would actually think those things. I think it says in the New Testament something about that, the most intelligent people will be brought down and they will be made to be fools. And a lot of the things that the most intelligent of us think are very, very foolish, such as, we come from monkeys. I mean, the whole idea of evolution is not based upon what we observe. It's all based upon theory. And of course, I'm not talking about the general micro evolution that you get or evolutionary psychology. I'm specifically talking about Darwinian evolution, which essentially says that one particular kind can evolve into another particular kind, not that one particular kind adapts to their surroundings, but one particular kind can actually change into something else. So effectively they're saying that it within that being was the ability to change into another being. And when they talk about everything comes from this primordial ooze or whatever it is, they're effectively saying all of that knowledge was there and we just created ourselves, which is a very very prideful thing to claim, that we're like gods and we can create ourselves. And you look at atheism, it is sad that we have these people that actually don't believe in God. And that's what he's saying here. He's not saying they don't belong in Europe, we should kick them out of Europe. He's saying that when he says they do not belong, he means that they do not have a community to belong to. The Archbishop also appeared critical of movements towards greater bodily autonomy and assisted suicide. So again, critical of movements towards greater bodily autonomy, I guess what they're referring to there is abortion. And he should be speaking out against abortion. He should be speaking out against the murder of babies within the womb. But it's not something we've heard him doing. He said we are in a completely different culture in the financially richer world to where we were 30 years ago. And that's entirely correct. I mean, the world that we are in now is completely different. It was predicted. It was predicted by nationalists and traditionalists that said, look, this is the direction that things are going in. You were talking about legalizing homosexuality now. Within 10 years, gays will be having gay weddings. And within 15 years, they'll be adopting children. And within 20 years, they'll be propagandizing children and saying that children can be gay. And within 30 years, they'll be lowering the consent and legalizing pedophilia. And that's what people were saying 30 years ago. And we're now at the stage where we have the pedophiles that are organizing, that are trying to use non-discriminatory terms for pedophiles, like minor attracted persons, all of these things. And I really did think that Justin Welby was a part of the push to get all these things legalized, all these progressive ideas. But it really does seem here that he's genuinely speaking out against it. He says, we've replaced morality and Christian faith with personal control over our bodies. Birth with genetically designed babies is not far away. So he's not explicitly talking about the murder of babies here and abortion. But that does come under these sort of bodily rights. When women talk about rights over their body, what they really mean is the right to murder a baby in the womb if they decide to have sex outside of marriage. He says birth with genetically designed babies is not far away. He is correct there. That would be, I guess, a side effect of the technology that we have for helping people to have babies that are unable to, creating babies outside of the womb, even swapping the genetic code around. And we do this to try to prevent genetic disease. When you have somebody that has a congenital defect or a disease, then we have tried to find ways to allow them to live. And part of the ways that we do that is by looking at the genetic code. That's where this mRNA stuff has come from. This vaccination is basically messing around with the genetic code. All of it comes from actually trying to help people, but a side effect of it is that you end up no understanding or with the ability to actually change somebody's genes. It's quite technical. If you want to try to increase somebody's intelligence, for instance, the gene expressions that are linked with intelligence could also be linked with lots of other things. You know, maybe linked with eye color, maybe linked with the way that the digestive system works. It may be linked to something completely different if you're talking about the fetus of a different race. I have heard that melanin and the genes that contain the expression for what makes black people black, when you find that expression within white people, it gives white people freckles. So some of the genetic code may do something different when it's within the baby of a different ethnicity. But we do have this technology to do this now, and they are doing these sorts of things in China. And he's effectively saying that this is all because we've given up on traditional Christian morality and think that we know better. And instead of seeing our bodies as being gifted to us by God, we believe there are bodies to do with whatever we choose. He's also speaking out against assisted dying. He says death is something that so many believe we have a right to choose in the way and at the time we want. Even my predecessor but one, George Carey, has spoken strongly in favour of assisted suicide in the Houses of Parliament, in the House of Lords. Again, that is something that governments are promoting. They're promoting that in Canada in particular. We don't actually have that in Britain just yet. They have that in Holland. So he's speaking out against that as well. I mean, he's effectively saying that the government are putting pressure on him to do things that he doesn't want to do personally, that he doesn't see as being in tune with Christianity. And he is saying that there are influences within the church that possibly do not have the church's best interests at heart, that atheists are having an influence on the church, I think is what he is saying here. And there are a lot of things within society that he doesn't agree with, that Christian morality would have prevented. But because we now have this atheistic society, we seem to be going along with these things. It's incredible to think that this is Justin Welby that is talking about these issues. He continues, modern European global North morality is a morality for the wealthy, the powerful, and the intellectually well-educated. It is a morality that does not believe in human sinfulness and failure. Again, this is very interesting because Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson says that truth is defined by the wealthy, which is effectively exactly what Justin Welby is saying here, saying that morality is defined by the wealthy, and it's a morality that doesn't believe in sinfulness and failure. He says it does not believe in forgiveness. It does not believe in hope. And again, that's because it doesn't say it's what he's saying here doesn't believe in human sinfulness. It's saying people can't do anything wrong. I think what he's saying there is certain things are defined as sin within the Bible, and yet our modern world doesn't define them as sin, defines them as something that we should be celebrating. I think that's what he's referring to there in not so many words. And he says this is where the church struggles. So he's saying that this is the struggle that is going on within the Church of England. You have people that don't want the church to go in this direction, don't want the church to give its blessing to modernism, but then you have people that are within the church that are pushing for that. And I think what he's saying is it's not the archbishops; it's coming from within the lay people. I guess I'd have to have a look and see who it is that's involved with this general synod. I did see that there were a lot of protesters that were outside of it, trying to draw attention to Christian traditional teaching. And they were just trying to peacefully protest. They were just silently outside so that the people that were going in there to vote or whatever, they saw the people outside. with the placards. Since it is the church, I guess, you know, they're not going to be so rowdy as if it was a protest against other things. But I am so surprised to see that Justin Welby is talking about this, saying that the government are putting pressure on him to alter the church's traditional teaching, and to say what's at the root of this is atheism. Because I would agree with him there. You know, it's the loss of our faith, it's the loss of our traditions that have led to the situation that we're in today. If we had followed our traditions, we would not be in the situation that we're in today. It's because we have ignored all of them and said, well, we know better than our ancestors. We are far more clever than our ancestors are. We don't need to obey the Bible. We don't need to obey Christian tradition. We can just make our own laws up, you know, which is humanism, which is effectively putting the creature in the position that the creator is in, saying we don't need to obey our Christian laws, the laws that were given to us, the divine laws. We don't even need to obey the laws of nature. We can make the laws up for ourselves because there's no purpose to anything. And I think that's what he's saying about this individualism. And atheism leads to people without a community. So I've really, really taken aback by this. I never thought that I would see Justin Welby talking about issues like this and standing up for them. And it's so bizarre that he's doing it in Africa rather than actually doing it at one of these meetings in England with the Church of England. So good on Justin Welby. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.